SFJ 4x4 Studios presents.
In my oversized four-wheel drive Jeep.
A Jeep podcast starring industry experts.
Pure monosity. What? Say that again.
With mad scientist Scott Brown.
Use my drill press as a sort of lathe.
Our host, Neil Simpson.
If one light goes out, they all go out.
Filled with shenanigans.
We are really professional with Jeeps.
This is I Speak Jeep.
That's a great feature to have on a torque. I'm going to get settled here. All right.
Just missed Neil running in from the side.
I literally just walked on set. Good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever, however you are joining us. We greatly appreciate your participation, listening, viewership, so on and so forth. I am Neil with SFJ4x4.com as I'm like yelling into the phone getting situated. And this is my esteemed colleague, best friend, mad scientist.
This is Scott Brown, and this time I was window fixer / front-end rebuilder of Ramblers.
Janitorial expert with the Rambler. That actually goes hand-in-hand together.
How did we do this?
Oh, my gosh.
We match.
Oh, this is like in elementary school when you're playing with your best friend that you're gonna wear clothes. That. We did. No. Everybody, we did. We were like called each other overnight last night.
No. It was the first shirt I found that was clean.
I actually wore it to my daughter's dance recital because it was actually like a decent looking t-shirt.
Yep.
And I needed to polish myself up a little bit. And so Saturday I went looking all fly and suave, collared shirt and whatnot. But
now you set a precedence. Now you got to look that way all the time.
I know. Well, for the actual recital itself, I actually panicked over the week. So we bought her a little flowers. You give the performer at the end of the thing. So then Saturday I was working on the tiny house. And ran out of time. So
they
you got to go get flowers, right? And I was like, I
just been pulling them out of a field at that point.
You know what I did? So I went to the gas station, not have the flowers I needed.
No.
So I end up in one of the pharmacies and I bought like a balloon flower on top of some candy.
Oh, dear.
And at that point in time, it could have been $100. I didn't care how much it was going to be. I had to buy this little flower on candy display. So it was quite the adventure of running from work to recitals to working on houses to turning up gardens. But I had a huge disaster, and I'm going to tell you about that here in a second. I had something happen to me this weekend that I've never had happen. Huh. And despite the fact that I wasn't actually working on Jeep, good morning, Dave and company. Despite the fact that I was not actually doing like rugged off-road Jeep stuff, I definitely experienced a first vehicularly.
Oh.
And I was using Jeeps as pickup trucks, which I love.
Always do that.
All right, folks, I'm going to take a moment. This is important to note. You can be joining us. You might be joining us. Facebook Live at 10:19. We had a little bit of a technical malfunction.
The computer decided it didn't like us today.
It pushed through a patch. And so big shout out to our production side of things, Jeffrey and David, the Savage and the Italian Stallion, doing what they do. Jeffrey's been working hard to get us technically back, on the right side of life.
Just making it work. We were unplugging and plugging in things, trying to make
hard
it work.
Reset. That's what we call a hard reset. So those of you who are joining us on Facebook Live, thank you so much for being here. You can comment and do all that kind of good stuff. If you're joining us on YouTube, we appreciate your participation. Make sure you push yourself all the way through to actually listen to the meat and potatoes we're talking about. We do a segment on products, product spotlight, which we have an interesting tool one today. And then we're going to talk a little meat and potatoes. We're going to talk what I like to call the ugliest duckling. And had we're gonna go with
anger people. That's what we're gonna do.
We're gonna talk about the ugliest duckling. And so, and then obviously, if you're joining us on your favorite streaming platform, we appreciate that as well. So make sure you can, you know, download the podcast and listen to it on your commute or while you're working in the garage or in your earphones while, you know, you're supposed to be at work, you know, paying attention to what you're doing there. Instead, you get to enjoy us rambling on about cool vehicle stuff.
Yep.
So lots of interesting things. And you obviously were working on Ramblers.
Yep. I decided I was going to change the ball joints on the Rambler over the weekend. I got one done.
How old do you think those ball joints are?
They're original. They were riveted in.
No.
Yep. 66.
66.
Still had the original ball joints. And I was looking at the bushings. They were also original and looking tired. And then I was doing my normal, you know, you don't realize something's bad. You realize it's bad. It's all stages of coping. And
denying that it's bad, that you have to spend the money on it to then.
Looked it up, and they were $100 and some a piece.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ouch.
From the Rambler place. And I was like, you know, I think that bushing's just fine.
That bushing's going to live another couple of years.
The car got put back together. And then I was right at the end of the day going to go put the wheel on. And I was just happened to look at the valve stem. And I was like, that's a problem. It's something I'd never seen before. The valve stem was dry rotted so bad it had these giant cracks. And I had to it was one of those moments where you're like, realize you were in danger before, and
yes.
You didn't know you were in danger.
Yes.
Both front tires like that. So, you know, I just drove that with my whole family in it a day or so ago. So, yeah. Then we
That's
went
the old rubber. That's the good rubber. It'll hold up.
No.
It'll hold up just
no,
fine.
They weren't that old. That was a couple years old. And
oh,
so we went
seriously?
Around and checked all the cars at that point just for my sanity, and it was the only those two. And it was the ones that have the cap, the little chrome cover and the chrome cap that's used. Sometimes come in a kit from a place that shall not be named. But yeah, I don't think I'm doing those anymore.
So not something we had done on our tire.
No, those
wheel
ones
supply.
Were on the rear tires, and those are just fine.
Okay. Well, that makes
experience
me feel
all
so much
the
better.
Same weathering and you know, because of course my cars are garaged and covered all the time. You know, just.
on a climate controlled
yes.
cement floor.
Perfect.
Perfect conditions.
Especially if Haggerty's listening. That's how they're sorted.
Especially if Haggerty is listening. If Haggerty tries to write their policy right now, they're running to the... Oh, thank God I don't have Haggerty.
Yeah.
Nothing against Haggerty.
No.
And we should talk sometime about the technical aspects, the logistics
yes.
of owning, I don't know, a gajillion vehicles
yes.
that we are attempt to insure.
Yes.
Because I was thinking in my own derelict situation of going like, how could I save a couple bucks a month, you know? And I was like,
yeah,
I don't know.
How much the Rambler is a year, do you think?
How much? $300, honestly.
$15.
A year?
Yeah.
To have the Rambler on your policy.
Yes.
I thought I was lowballing. I thought I was lowballing at $300.
No, the seven is $100 and some a year.
Through Haggerty?
Yeah.
How many vehicles do you have on your policy?
Yes.
Okay.
I might have a multi-car discount. I'm not sure.
I think the problem is I have the semis and they mess
love
with
you.
Things.
Yeah, they touch you.
I pretend they're pick 'em up trucks, just so. Unless my insurance agent isn't listening, and then they are
pick-up
trucks.
It's just a heavy one.
It's just a heavy pickup truck.
Yeah.
And I am always honest. I always very factual. It is not dump trucks. They
yes.
are not dump. They always oh,
those
is that
are
a
higher
dump
risk.
Yeah, they
things
are not,
fall out of the back of those.
Right, right. They crack windshields of
yes.
other people all the time.
Yeah. The
know?
Only thing I own that's not. Or we own that isn't insured is her truck. We need to get that on the policy. But everything else, including motorcycles, are covered for one of the first times in my life.
Huh.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yep.
Good for you. Speaking of well, it's okay. So things that I experienced over the weekend that were like, okay, just who does this, you know? So first of all, on a valve stem issue, I thought it was, such a coinkydink that you had valve stem issues because my little lawnmower, despite the fact that it has tubes and weights and all that kind of stuff on the backside, had a flat tire the other day, and I was miffed because I went to mow the new property, which is obviously...
We need to get you one of those non-air tires.
Oh, absolutely, right? And what had happened was the valve stem actually got kind of pushed to the side and had chafed, and actually had chafed through the valve stem because of the weight, like the wheel weights pushing on it. Even though it's a tube, you know, even though I have the tires tubed. So I have to do that. I have to do that one over again. Yeah. All right. If you're still listening here, folks, we've got really cool stuff to talk about. We have a for our hashtag not sponsored segment. We are going to be talking torque wrenches, right? So people seem to have enjoyed our those of you who are listening can't see Scott's wonderful Vanna White, you know, showing off the torque wrenches. We have about four torque wrenches on the table with us today.
I wish we had the old school like arrow.
You know what? I actually had one on and in my toolbox, and I'm looking at like off screen because my toolbox is not
look, Jeffrey.
There. And I've never actually set my toolbox up well this second go around. And I had one of the old. I do have a couple of the old school.
I have one at
home. No, that's not it. All right, that would have been exciting.
Yeah, that would have been good. We all have click style in front of us here, or beep style,
or beeps. So, and you know what? We could probably spend a whole meat and potato session of that, but we're not going to.
Yeah.
So we're going to be talking of our hashtag not sponsored. That again, the meat and potatoes. We're going to be talking about the ugliest duckling. We might be, you know, people feeling some type of way, and
guarantee
then. It. And then we're just going to quietly depart into the day to do work on wonderful Jeeps is my hope and dream and desire.
Yep.
So here's something that has never happened to me before, and I hope
such
never happens to me again. I lost a trailer over the weekend.
Oh, I've had that happen.
Did you?
Yeah. Safety chains are there for a reason.
So here I am.
And it smacks the back of the car really hard when you step on the brake.
So here I am, and I was putting a garden in at the new house, and so I had rented this monster of a rototiller because we're breaking ground for the first time.
Yep.
And I rented this, and of course, it's a perfect rental, and I returned it in wonderful condition.
Full tank of gas and everything.
You know what? I got to be honest. The place that I rented from was like, hey, we'll pay for the gas. Oh. I thought, phew. That's enough in the rental fee as far
like,
as I'm concerned.
We don't want your old gas. Thank you.
Yeah, that's exactly. I'm thinking they want to run, you know, premium or non-ethanol. They're smart.
That's
in the
actually
fact that,
really smart for small motor stuff.
Correct. I bet you they were like, hey, this thing, if it runs, you run it out of, you know, run it out. That's fine. Put regular gas in.
Yep.
But otherwise, do not fill the tank. That's what they said. Don't fill the tank. I thought that was bright of them.
Yes.
All right. So I have this beautiful, heavy rototiller on the trailer.
Of course, properly strapped down.
It was, actually.
It's
okay.
Probably a good thing if
it
you
was
lost the trailer.
It was. And I had not intended. I was actually, it was one of the big trucks. And one of these big trucks I have has a 2-inch ball on it. And it was
because it's an oversized pickup truck.
Because it's an oversized pickup truck. Thank you, our insurance agency. And so I'm out at the property, and the wife had dropped me off, and I was like, you know, my son and I were like, hey, we got to get back for the recital, and of course we're, you know, hustling to do that. So I was like, I'm just going to fire up one of these trucks. I'm going to put the trailer on the truck. That way it gets everything off the property. We don't have to come back to it tonight, blah, blah, blah. So I'm hooking up, the 2-inch ball that I had with me was a little scaly.
Mm.
It was arguably not the best shape, but it was the right ball for the coupler on the trailer. And I thought, hey, this should be okay.
Yeah.
And I hooked them over, and I, you know, the small trailer, I had to ramrod it.
Got to hit it just
down.
Right.
Yeah.
I had talk sweet nothings to it.
Yeah. Ramrod it down. And, there was nowhere to hook up the safety chains well.
Oh, no.
And
you
I thought,
lost it.
I thought, hey, I'm just going across town.
Oh, boy.
This
is when all the accidents happen.
Do I need to hook these chains up? You know, and I had a moment of moral compass, and I was like, you know what? I have great respect for our local law enforcement whose Jeeps we build.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to abuse that relationship. So yes. I'm going to find somewhere to hook these chains.
I totally support that.
So in a moment, I did my crisscross, which is so important, folks.
Yes.
If you've never hauled a trailer before,
X your chains.
You X your chains.
Yep.
And what I was
so
actually
when it does fall off, it lands in the X and doesn't dig into the pavement, and it was whacks the hell out of the back of your vehicle.
And what I was able to do was I crossed the chains and I came up and I grabbed the back side of the 2-inch receiver.
Yep.
Does that make sense? So I didn't have.
Yep. Sadly, I do that all the time.
Oh, I've never done that. Because again,
it's not actually approved.
No, it's not.
Because
and I was
if the
like,
pen goes bye bye, everything goes bye bye.
Oh no! I actually grabbed the backside of the receiver itself.
That's
right.
Fine.
I'm thinking this is perfect.
Yeah.
Right? This is
it's
actually
not going anywhere.
This is clink. Not going anywhere. That was exactly what I said. You know.
Yeah.
That's great. All right. So I drive out of the property. Everything's gravy. You know, this truck's 30 feet long. It's, you know, it's
really long pickup truck.
It's a very big pickup truck. And I have a very small garden trailer behind it. You know, you barely even know it's there.
And there's lots of people going, why didn't you just put it on the bed and strap it down?
Oh, I was that guy. Do you know what I mean? I'm clearly that guy. And I see things.
Bed's empty.
Oh, my gosh. You know what we should do?
Trailer.
We should take that truck with, like, the little red Jeep on it to Bantam or one of the Jeep shows. Like, just drive that in. Just to be okay. So I'm driving down one of our primary roads, which is being worked on by it's just being worked on
constantly.
And
the
truck,
big huge boulders in the middle of the road,
because the truck is, I don't know, 30 feet long and has no weight on the back of it,
it's bouncing the
bucks and all of a sudden I see the vehicle behind me panic and swerve.
Yeah, because you can't see the trailer.
Because I can't see the trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening back
there. It's just back there whipping back and forth.
And all of a sudden, it's whipping back and forth. And I was like, oh, my God, I lost the trailer.
Yep.
We managed to, you know, kind of nurse it off the road into a very large parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the trailer behaving wonderfully.
On the chains.
On the chains.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, you know what? This is why I took the extra 30 seconds and I hooked it up reasonably appropriately, even though it wasn't perfect as far as, you know,
it got
the
job
hangers.
Done. Otherwise, it would have been in the front of that car. It was doing evasive maneuvers.
Yes. Yes. And I got to tell you, that was a puckering experience to
it's
lose
really
a trailer.
Bad with little trailers like that, because they will start to do this with the tongue when they come off. I actually just, I don't know, a month ago was going into Ashtabula and a guy lost a trailer. And I'm watching the trailer like go back and forth. And I'm used to it at this point. I'm like, oh, that sucks. Everybody's panicking around him.
Oh, you tell definitely vehicles on the road were
losing
panicked.
Their mind.
And I was like, I'm going to get into this parking lot and remedy this as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
The coupler was still perfectly coupled.
Oh,
so I think that we just have a worn 2-inch ball. And a worn coupler, like the combination thereof.
Yeah, bad juju.
Bad juju.
But when I had mine happen, it was my dad's little trailer, and I left my parents, and I got all the way into almost Amy's parents' house. So, you know, probably 5 to 8 miles, and I went to slip on the brake, and wham! I'm like, what the heck was that?
Oh, man.
Over to the side of the road, wham, again.
Oh, man. Oh.
But thankfully, I had the chains on it, and I was able to just lock it back down and go about my business.
So the coupler in your situation had come uncoupled.
Yeah. I didn't have a pin in it, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, like I said, mine
it's
just
never happened again. One and done.
That was enough for me, I'll be honest. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why do I subject myself to these things?
Yes.
You know, who else? Have you lost the trailer? Tell us your story. We'd love to understand. With that said,
it's a very real thing.
It is a real thing. With that said, we are asking for your stories about your recoveries. We want to showcase them. We want to have your name. We want to have your Jeep. We want to have a little bit of your story. So we want you to email, text, send us videos, photos. I don't know, whatever. Reach out to us in some way, shape, or form. And you're going to email our producer, Jeff C, JeffC@sfj4x4.com, and we want to showcase your recovery stories in an episode or two here coming up. We are going to be showcasing some of our ridiculous recovery stories, but we have absolutely every intention to make sure that we share yours as well. A couple have come in already, which have been absolutely hysterical or engaging or interesting. So please take a moment. head on to the old email. There's our tow truck driver who says, I do recoveries every day. Yeah. I hope that right now he's out recovering a Jeep from our parking lot to go to our dyno shop. That is what's supposed to be happening. So to get that performance Jeep done and tuned. But that's awesome that he actually responded. I know what he's supposed to be recovering.
Yeah.
You know what would be a hoot to have him on here? He could sing the shanty with me, you know? All right. So make sure you send your recovery stories to us so that we can showcase them here in an episode coming up. All right. So I saw a post moving around the old interwebs, mm-hmm. and I thought it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. But I recognize... Let's be honest. I was driving home through the beautiful countryside of Western Pennsylvania, and there was a field of sheep, which obviously, you should be scared of where the story is going at this point.
Yeah, I'm really confused.
All right,
now.
There was one.
I was waiting for field of jeeps.
No, field of sheep. Field of sheeps. We should just title this one "Field of Sheeps." There was one beautiful little black sheep. Out of this whole group, right?
Yeah, and he didn't fit in.
No, he didn't fit in, right? Which had me started to think about it. And this was the end of the week.
There's books written about this.
There
subject.
Are, right? There are books written about that. Which then is the ugly duckling, and yep. then this article got passed around the old internets over the weekend. At least I could tell of the 92 to 95.
Renegade
Jeep YJ Renegade,
yeah,
which I love.
Yeah, it's so ugly, it's terrible.
I disagree. It's got a face only a mother could love.
That's for sure.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You love listening to podcasts, but have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? Maybe you want to build a brand, grow your business, or are looking for an excuse to talk about your favorite hobby. Whatever your reason for making a podcast, Buzzsprout is the place to start. Since 2009, Buzzsprout has helped over 300,000 people launch their own podcasts. Buzzsprout walks you step by step through the whole process and will give you powerful tools to start, grow, and monetize your podcast. Ready to get started? Click the link in the show notes to get our free step-by-step guide to starting your podcast today.
So...
so much plastic.
All right, folks. If you are obviously we don't have a picture up, but we're gonna do our best to describe this to you, and then I'm hope that Scott over there, you are conjuring up an ugly duckling.
So you took one of mine, but anyway.
Well,
so imagine
if that's
plain,
not somebody's
normal
ugly
YJ,
duckling.
And you just take like 50 extra pounds of plastic and lay it on every flat
the
surface.
The 80s were very influential.
And then you get more like square lights to emphasize the square lights you already don't like.
You had square lights next to square lights.
Yes, because obviously two square lights make a right, but they don't.
You had these fog lights that were Frenched in to the these big, beautiful, sweeping, bodacious flares on the Jeep.
No, and you know what the best part is? All the salt and the mud and the dirt gets in between all the plastic and the fenders, and then they fall off in 15 to 20 years.
So we actually have a customer with a Rennie, a YJ Rennie, which we have done a full frame off on.
Wants to do a Renegade-ectomy, get rid of it.
He's getting rid of all of his Rennie stuff.
Yep.
And we actually have a couple of customers with Renegade. No, and that's the problem is the bodies are completely rotten. Joe Brilla.
And the plastic's broken.
Yeah, and the plastic and the fog lights are gone. Joe Brilla says, if you build it, he will come. I got to be honest, folks, if you are on Facebook right now and you do not like that comment, I don't know if you're awake.
Yes.
Because he literally had the time to make a pun. Yes. Field of Sheep with Kevin Costner did lousy at the box office. That's spectacular. How did he come up? I'm just not witty like that.
No.
So the nice thing about the Renegade, the redeeming qualities.
It had a 4-liter?
It had a 6-cylinder. It had a 4.0. HO,
yep.
And it was typically
manual.
Slightly
nicer interior.
Had a slightly nicer interior.
And from the inside, you couldn't see the outside?
From the inside, you couldn't see the outside. I think that like this gnarly, overbuilt Renegade would be like the coolest
So that's where you couldn't put big tires on it because of all the plastic.
You would have to lift it, I don't know,
a lot.
12 inches in the air.
Yeah.
I would put it on a
monster truck chassis.
On a monster truck chassis.
The tire is just blatantly oversized. Then you're fine.
That would be the coolest, ridiculous build you could do with a Renegade.
No, it'd still be ugly.
So what other ugly ducklings are out there?
Well, first thing when you said ugly duckling Jeeps, the first thing that comes to mind is 73 up Jeep Commandos.
Oh, I knew you were doing the bull nose.
You took such a beautiful Jeep from like 66 to 72. I love those. And then suddenly you saw a Bronco and you're like, I need this to be a Jeep. But uglier.
But
at least the Bronco, like back in the day, the first gen Bronco has a nice little, you know, styling of the grill. The Commando is just like a big egg crate. We just went out behind Circle K, got us a bunch of milk crates, cut off the bottoms.
That was Lawson's at the time. That was a Lawson's.
Sheet metal screwed them to the grill, and we're done.
I would love to know who at AMC Jeep at that time
can be credited. It should be
with
ashamed.
The grill design of the Bullnose Commando.
Yeah.
That would be really interesting.
It's so bad. And then the other ones I thought of were like, they're just so like,
wait a second, before you move on to the next ones, I'm going to tell you, and I was hoping that we could, the ugly duckling is redeemable because you would have had a Dauntless in the Bullnose, or a 304.
304. It was full AMC at that point.
Oh, that's right. So you had a 304 AMC V8.
Really bothers me because it has my favorite power plant, but such an ugly body. And I don't think the earlier one has got a long enough nose to fit my preferred engine.
Oh, that's
right. Hot rod things.
That's right. So the issue, because
it's on my bucket list,
like our CJ5s and CJ6s of that era,
short nose. When they went long nose, it got
derailed,
and we made it so ugly. It wasn't funny.
Listen, listen. The 60s or 70s, there are some wild things happening.
Oh, put it down, back away, please.
Put it down and back away. Whatever could you be referring to?
No idea.
So the bull nose is definitely not the most attractive commando design.
It's really high on my list.
And it was, what I think was really frustrating with that is that they took the Jeepster, right? So you took the iconic nature of the Jeepster. And if you're unfamiliar with the Jeepster, folks, if you're listening in or viewing, the Jeepster was this incredibly attractive, classy, elegant, oftentimes two-wheel drive. It was
Art
a hybrid.
Deco, like epitome of 50s. Chrome, styling. Had a really nice, tastefully interior. Just really well done.
So you take that Jeepster, and eventually the namesake gives itself away to the Jeepster Commando.
Yep.
Which
is the era I prefer.
Which is the era you prefer, which is kind of like a CJ.
It has a weird hood, and I've heard of people don't like the hood coming out over top of the fenders.
I was going to say, there's a number of people who would not prefer. They would call that an ugly duckling.
Yep, and that's fine. Each his own.
But you really went ahead and you just said, hey, the Bronco wannabe Commando.
Yeah, that's so bad. Terrible.
Okay. So there's people who are going to say that Jeepster Commando is on the list, but you went right for the Bullnose. And the Bullnose is that era that's full AMC.
Yep.
And they extended it for that big V8 power plant.
And straight six.
Yep. And straight sixes to be applicable. It was slightly heavier because it had slightly more sheet metal. The hard top was bigger, wider, longer, I think.
Maybe, but the frame was definitely longer. I know that's two different wheelbases. I don't know exactly. It's a C1 something.
Yeah, C101 and a 103.
Yeah, and that depicts the wheelbase.
Interesting.
Yep.
All right, so what else? Do you have something else prepared on the ugly duckling list you're saying?
So the other one, I actually, it's ugly, but I think it's cute. It's so ugly it's cute, is an FC.
Oh, buddy.
And what I think is funny is people still post those and they're like, Well, I found this weird thing, and I think it's a Jeep, but what is it?
Or it says Jeep, but I've never seen something like this.
I've never seen one. And it kind of looks like you just, you know, put a straw in a balloon and went, huh, and it bulged up. And you put that on the front of a chassis and put some bed behind it.
I can't help but say that it looks like a pug nose.
It does.
Little dog to me.
Which is why it's so ugly. It's cute.
Yes.
I know plenty of people with pugs that are like, yes, he looks like he ran into the door really hard.
Yes,
but he's
smashed
cute.
His little face in. Yes. But he's cute. So, I mean, you know this, but for our listening and viewing audience, an FC is one of my bucket list Jeeps.
Yep.
It's an itch that I have yet to scratch.
You're going
to
get that 170 though.
But I'm a 170 guy.
Yeah.
And so those are your,
which is way more proportional than the 150s.
So the thing is about, you know, the ugly ducklings, you know, the 150, so the FC 150 is basically a CJ5
with a cab hanging
with a
over
very
top of the
large
front.
Cab. I mean, it's a disproportionately
it's
large
so bad.
Cab. And you know, and it's just a two-seater, and basically, and FC stands for forward control, which yep. means you are sitting forward
of the axle. Well, you're basically
that
sitting,
your controls are forward of the axle.
You're sitting on the front tire.
You are. You're sitting up above on above.
And the radiator's keeping you company beside you.
The engine is literally where our cup holders are in modern day yep. vehicular usage.
Yep.
So what I actually
and
thought
they have
is
two grills.
They do.
Yeah, they have a front grill and a back grill.
Why would they have a back grill?
Because that's where the air has to go out.
Oh. It
comes in the front, goes out the back.
I done learned me something new today. I did not know they had a rear grill.
They have a rear grill. And they had F-heads, if I'm not mistaken.
They did. The earliest ones.
Or a straight six.
And then they eventually managed to shoehorn a flathead straight six in there?
I believe so. And that was in the 170.
Correct. It was like a Continental, you know, marriage where they had those flathead
industrials.
Sure
everyone loved to work on those back in the day.
So, absolutely. And so
pleasure to work on.
What's funny they should even say that. Just this morning I was driving my son to school and I was following a late 90s Ford Ranger pick 'em up truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it was a 2-wheel drive truck. And it was just a cab and a short bed. And I thought, how interesting is our auto industry at this point, at this current juncture in life, in the late, you know, 2000s of 20s, I don't know what the heck we call this. The 2010s and 2020s, that our pickup trucks are so elaborate.
Yes.
And they've gotten so big. Mm-hmm. As I followed this Ranger in, and I did not know you were going to bring up the FC-150, but I got to be honest, that is a perfect ugly duckling, a face only a mother could love.
Yep.
That basically back in the day, you just needed a motor and a little cover and a bed.
The bed was the most important
thing. The bed was the most important thing that you were doing.
You got some sheet metal, like a piece of canvas to sit on, and that was it. Steering wheel, you're good.
There was no crash testing because nobody really. It was about hauling stuff. You didn't really care if you were crashing.
My dad always said with those and Dodge A100s.
Yes, here we go. I know this one.
And Volkswagens, you were the first thing to the accident.
That's right. You weren't worried about crash tests because
you were there.
You didn't have anything to worry about because it was done.
Yeah.
It was over before it began. That was the crash test nature of those Jeeps.
And the Jeep gave you a nice big wraparound windshield to go through.
Yes. It was exit strategy. That was more than sufficient.
Yes.
It's so funny that you bring that up because that's what those were. They were meant to be a truck bed on wheels that you drove.
Not have leather and nav and heated and cooled seats.
And the cab
wheel.
So big that, you know, you could host a dinner party in
yes.
it. And okay, don't get me wrong, guys. I own these. The things that we're 100% being critical
but
of.
You don't have a mega cab, though.
I have a Crew Cab International.
Well, still, I'm talking about that Dodge. It was longer than yours.
I know, but I've really struggled in the process of wanting to rebuild the Dodge.
Those don't look proportional either.
I know, but if we put them with an 8-foot bed, and that's those Dodges never
yours
came.
Yours looks right, but it's the little 4-door. Then they had the big, big one.
I don't know. I'm still kind of like a mega cab on an 8-foot dually bed is still pretty cool look to me.
Yeah.
Just
can't turn around the parking lot because it's so long.
That's okay. I can't turn around in the parking lot with other things.
With your current pickup truck.
My current pickup truck. So I love that. I love the FC150. I would not want to own it. I would want to own the FC170.
Yeah, that's because you're a truck guy.
Because I'm a truck guy at my heart, in my core. And we do know a couple people who have those. What I think was actually when they nailed it was the military version, which was a crew cab.
Yes.
And had then a pretty decent looking little bed on it.
Perkins.
And it had a Perkins diesel engine in it.
That's like the best. It makes the cab, even though the cab is huge at that point, it looks a little better for some reason.
It does. For some reason, it looks better. It looks balanced. It looks.
Yeah. Because otherwise, the FC just looks like it's going to fall on its face any minute.
I've heard wheeling the FC150s is just.
Oh, that's got to be spooky.
Spooky, because you're there. The departure angle is.
Yeah.
The departure angle is me looking at the ground, you know?
Yes. If you're going downhill, you're just staring at the ground the whole time and hoping the tire's underneath you.
Oh, my gosh.
So do you have another ugly duckling?
I do.
Are you going with the old traditional ugly duckling?
I'm not.
Okay, that's good.
What were you going to go with?
I'm kind of, I don't want to do the traditional. I know it's a little ugly, but it's still.
I'm going with a stock 2007 Jeep JK.
Meh. With the little bitty wheels.
With the little bitty wheels.
I just thought of one that I could get your goat with. So I do have another one. All right,
yeah, that's fine. You bring that to the table. I'm going to talk about why. I have a list, and we'll do a video here in the near future, of the 7 worst Jeeps that you can purchase. And on the top of one of those lists is going to be the 07 JK. But with that said, in 2007, a stock sport model JK with the big, obviously that was when we were first exposed to the big plastic fender flares.
All the fender. And then we put a tire this big in it.
And they put a 16-inch steel wheel with it was not a 235, but it's about
like a 195.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so small.
And it was meant to be a sport model. It was meant to be an affordable Jeep. I'm willing to bet you could buy that off the lot in 2007 for about $18,000, brand new. And it was all, and then I'm going to take it one step further and put it with a soft top with clear windows.
Yeah, and no AC.
And no AC.
That was an option.
Correct. So that's that ugly duckling was as it came off the lot with these itty bitty tires with these big wing flares, and as a fishbowl of a top.
Yeah.
People didn't know what to make of it.
It's totally a blank canvas at that point.
Now, that's the thing, right? I mean, we can look at it with potential and say, hey, that's a blank canvas. I like it.
Yep.
But I would be remiss to not put that one on my ugly duckling list.
It's totally ugly from the factory.
Because it just was so hideous. It was
the worst part
is, squatty.
You had to walk past the Rubicon to go buy that. So you knew
what it should look like.
What it should look like.
Yes.
And you didn't get that. Because you didn't have the cheddar to get that one.
And better yet, that while it's not in aesthetics, the likelihood of you getting a Dana 35 at that point in time
was sadly high.
So now you've got no tint.
Who in the world thought that was a good idea? Like,
again, this is the same person who put the bull nose.
Live on one more year.
It was his like retirement because he was instead of putting he put the bull nose in 67 on the commando.
No, 72.
72. 73. Excuse me, that's right. He put it in 72 and he was still working there. 35, 38 years later.
But he made something so ugly they put him in drivetrain.
They said you can't
design the outside
anymore.
You
can't do design, so we're doing drivetrain.
Now you're regaled to the bottom of the Jeep.
This 35 is redesigned. Dana told me it's good enough.
It's still bad.
No, it was not a good axle. But you got 410 gears
and
out of
410s. What in the world was going on?
So you got this squatty
put
little Jeep
down,
with 16-inch steel wheels
away, and
410s. just a stupid Jeep. That's JK owners. Take that. That was 07. It's a stupid Jeep.
Yeah.
All right.
So my next one is a long bed Comanche.
I'm walking off.
short beds look so much better than long beds.
That is not true at all.
I knew I was going to get him with that one.
I did not see that coming. And I'm disappointed at my lack of foresight in the fact that you were just going to gut punch me. I did not think you were going to gut punch me, though.
But it looks like so long after the cab.
You want to drive a bed. Back in the day, we rode and drove like men, and we died like men. All I was doing was driving a bed. I wanted to drive. Yeah. I wanted to throw a piece of plywood back there.
I knew it was like the camping wheel, gear. A short bed, four-wheel drive Comanche. I can only imagine with that extra feet on the back that you're getting stuck
it's
on.
A school bus.
High center over a pebble on stock height.
Yeah.
It was so bad. You needed the skid plates because you're going to use them on that.
And that was the thing. They had skids. They had the not that this is the aesthetics, the ugly duckling piece, but they had the load to ride height adjustment for that very reason, right? Yeah. So if I loaded down my big full size bed in my little Comanche, it would utilize
the space they gave me.
Yes.
I'm going to fill it to the top with stone. Don't do that.
I can't believe you brought the Comanche to the table.
And I will even go further to more anger people. The J4000s and long trucks like that, same way for me. I had a 2000. What? It was shorter. It looked better.
You're just, you know what, folks? I hear that Scott hates trucks.
No, I love
we're
going to
title this segment, Scott Hates Trucks.
I love my J2000. I love J10s. Yep, just... And it's sad because my personal truck is a long bed, and I wouldn't own a short bed Chevy. But the J2000 to me is perfect. It's a medium bed. It's like almost – it's not a short bed. It's not this little bitty thing that's like, what's that for?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a long bed where it's like, God, that's long. Hmm. And it's only worse if you lower them. If you make them taller, it is better. Like if you jack a long bed Comanche up on 37s, perfect.
I'm so jelly. It's perfect. I want that.
But
I had that.
The shorter it is,
life,
the longer it becomes.
I think that's cool. I think that's cool. So a lot of people. I mean, obviously, we brought Rennie to the Renegade was a machine gun to a knife fight.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody produces that one. The Bullnose Commando, the FC, the 07 JK.
I'm going to go against the grain. I don't think the 3B is that ugly.
There you go. Good. I don't think the 3B is ugly at all.
No. Nope.
And yet there is a large population.
Oh, people hate on the 3B.
Yeah.
Hate
I don't
them.
Get it. The high hood, right? The so if you're hood. If you're listening, if you're unfamiliar, they produced.
They are cool.
They are cool, Chuck.
With medium beds.
If you had the high hood, and so the 3B was produced, what was that, 54, 55?
53.
53 was the first of the 3B.
To 55, because we had to make both models.
That's right. They were making it because at that point in time, we couldn't let go of one to embrace the other.
Yep.
It would be like making
the
TJ and the JK.
By the cool Jeep to get the base model cheapy one.
Nice.
You had to walk by that 55 CJ5 and go, that's really roundy and cool. Yes. But I have to buy this one.
I'm
sad.
But you got horse purrs out of the 3B at that time, right? Yeah. Because you had that F head design, so it gave you, a few horsepowers.
And it had a bigger.
It had designed the whole hood over like 10 horsepower.
Yes. And it had a bigger engine compartment, so that small block Chevy fit in there better.
I did. I ran into a guy over the weekend. In the parking lot, and he was admiring Jen's mall crawler, and he had to tell me how he had a Chevy 350 in his CJ.
It's a badge of honor for many.
It is. And a lot of people, at one point in time, much like LS's.
Yeah. It was the go-to.
It was the go-to. So to have have an SBC, a small block Chevy in your CJ.
Yep.
Was, like you said, a badge of honor. A very cool thing to do. Made it arguably more reliable, sort of. Some people thought
makes
so.
Makes me cringe, but
that's a
probably.
Hard one. That's hard. Oh, you know what? I didn't even... I bogged that one. He had an SBC. He had a 400. I don't even want you to react on that one, because it's a 400. I know. He was very happy to have a 400 in there.
They always are.
They people who love 400s love 400s.
Yes.
I don't know what that is. You can make a 350 spin a lot faster than a 400.
And you don't have all the pain in the butt to find a flywheel for it.
Whatever. You know, all right, we're not talking about GM swap CJs today. We've covered a lot of territory. Folks, if you're watching and you have an idea of, you know, ugly ducklings, black sheep of the family, the legitimate one, I always love people come in with their Jeeps named the black sheep, which I think is cute. Mm-hmm. You know, let us know. Put something in the comments. You know, send it to us. Make sure you're sending those recovery stories over to Jeffrey. Any more ugly ducklings for the good of the order?
Yeah, I think we've beat that horse enough.
Because I like that we ended on the fact that the 3B is not actually ugly. An ugly duckling. Nope. I will defend that honor through and through. We're going to take a quick commercial break. If there are any other ugly ducklings, speak now or forever hold your peace. And we'll be back to do hashtag not sponsored and talk about torque wrenches. Hey, Jeep family, we hope that you're enjoying this content, and we want to make sure that you head over to sfj4x4.com, find some of this cool merchandise, give us a call at our facility, 440-813-3663.
Option one.
And make sure that you tune in to our live podcast every Monday at 10:19 a.m. and check out our updates on YouTube on Tuesdays and Fridays. Until then, Jeep on.
Blind.
Oh, we're doing a blind react. We moved right into a blind react.
It was a blind react to a blind react.
It was a blind react. I didn't know this was happening. All right, Jeffrey. Oh, because I certainly haven't seen this one.
Holy.
Ooh, what is.
He's committed.
How is he not spit? What is that?
It's a gladiator.
How is he not spinning out of control?
Holy crap. But he has his four ways on. He's got two tires off. You know, gladiators are a lot of money, and I would not drive one on rims.
That was stolen. That had to have been stolen.
Maybe you cut it off. There was more to that.
It was like 5 minutes long.
It was not 5 minutes long. They followed him into a parking lot.
They followed the guy into the parking lot. Okay. So it is very uncommon. All right, hold on a second. It was really uncommon for something to happen on the internet and me not be aware of
right?
it.
Right? I did not see that one.
So I have not seen this one. So
I hope he's getting new wheels because those
all
are
all right,
done.
So what's the story? They're going to shout in off the backside here.
So the truck continued down to a parking lot. The guy followed him into the parking lot.
They go to a parking lot. They follow. So the filmer follows the gladiator.
He made several turns.
Never lost control. There's a lot of people who can't drive down the road
on four
tires.
Was he a race car driver?
It ended with him just staring at it in the parking
lot. Was he on drugs? Is it stolen? Do we know? What is the story on that? I mean, police literally do that on purpose to spin somebody out of control. And this guy is like,
that guy's like, no.
I'm just driving it sideways.
Yeah, I got this.
A gladiator is way too expensive. I mean, that was like a Rubicon, too. Was it not? I thought I saw some red piping on it.
I was too distracted by the sparks coming off the wheels. Don't do that.
Grandpa Simpson would have done it, though.
No, totally.
You know what I mean? He would have been
getting to his property.
I'm just trying to get it home.
Leave
me alone. I'm not doing anything to you. I'm just trying to get it home.
Yeah. He didn't have, you know, our awesome tow truck driver.
He didn't have our awesome tow truck driver to get him home. That's right.
They will sing you a song as he tows you.
Our singing tow truck driver. He had a big concert over the weekend, too. They were killing it. They got some nice shirts. We're going to have Albert on here one day. I'm just painting the picture
Jesus.
For you. Tow truck Jesus will be on here.
He did need a tow. The thing was only totaled by the time he got to where he was going.
Our tow truck driver, if you've not had the pleasure of meeting him yet, which, I mean, hopefully it's because we're transporting you to or from or because you've contracted us to bring a vehicle into the shop or whatnot. But he does look a little bit like Jesus, and he is the lead singer.
Completely blow our minds.
Lead singer in a band and a full-time tow truck and recovery expert extraordinaire.
Yeah.
And plow guy. Yeah. So what a heck of a combination. Wow, I did not see that video over the weekend, I did not see that coming. All right, we should talk torque wrenches.
Yes.
We should
and
talk
now
torque
it's
wrenches.
Time for our product spotlight.
Hashtag no sponsor.
Spotlight.
Hashtag no sponsor.
So I feel like I have to go in order. This was basically the first.
What
torque
is a torque? What is torque? When it comes to mechanical nuts and bolts.
Well, torque is how much you carry stuff along with you. If you remember the whole wall meme.
Oh, that's
horsepower,
true.
How hard you hit the wall. Torque is how much you carry the wall with you past the point of impact.
That's awesome.
Anyway,
that was a great thing.
So we anytime anybody's, you know, working on a vehicle or a lawnmower or anything where you're tightening something, there's always how hard should I tighten this?
Ugga dugga.
Ugga duggas.
And wait, and Chuck. Laura goes, how many horsepower on 13-inch rotors?
What's the mile per gallon?
Oh, what's the miles per gallon on the? And then Albert comes back with, apparently he didn't torque them lug nuts on that video.
Oh dear!
I just want to get home. He's got smiles per gallon. He's probably tweaked out of his mind.
All anyway. Right. So
torque wrenches.
The reason why they came up with a torque value and torque wrenches,
I feel like I should be holding something,
is the fact that this way you can be, you know, Jeff that can barely click this, or Greg.
What? Wow, Jeff is really good. We have sound today because of Jeffrey, and our podcasts are so well done.
Or you can be Greg and knows all the factions, you know, of what it
of
does.
Of every torque that
of
it
all
needs.
The torques. This is the equalizer. This way you know it's tight. And this is always to the same tightness. Not, oh, that one's a little tighter than that one. And my first torque wrench looked just like this, but it didn't have this cool internal drive.
That is the coolest little internal drive.
I have never seen that. That kind of blew my mind.
Is that yours, Jeffrey?
Yeah.
Huh.
And you can buy this at Walmart. Or at Harbor Freight, or a bunch of different
Lowe's.
Places.
There is no excuse to have a torque wrench at this point in your life. So,
yes.
30 years ago, torque wrenches were much more challenging.
Yes, this is like $20.
I'm holding my really cool vintage torque wrenches invisibly right now, yeah. And they had like a plate, kind of like a bow tie.
Yeah, had a rod that came from the top down to the bottom with a little needle on it.
A trueness rod.
And a gauge. And that's when you really know, because you have to pull it over and look at where it's pointing.
You actually had to pay attention to your torque wrench.
Yeah, whoa. And not have it slip off and smack you in the face. I was lucky enough to have a click style. That's what these are.
I was too poor to have click styles back when I started doing anything.
And I afterwards got one of those beam style, and I was like, what in the world is this for? Put that back away.
Yeah.
Get the click one.
I was too poor, and I dug a beam style out of, you know, like somebody's derelict trash at the point.
Of course you did. My dad had basically this exact torque wrench starting out. And then I think I bought one from Walmart to start out with. And they are literally so cheap. At this point, you could just buy one and put it in every vehicle.
They are. So, those of you, just before we continue to move on, torque wrenches are so valuable in every aspect of working on your vehicle.
And if that JT owner had a torque wrench, his wheel wouldn't fall off. And he wouldn't be going down the road like that.
That's likely true. And so there is a misnomer, certainly, that came out of, I don't know, generationally somewhere around the 80s, 90s, 2000s, that you could just impact something on. So you would, there's this very iconic sound of, you know, the garages with the air impact going. And that's not okay, right?
No.
So if you
stop
hear
that
and you're getting your wheels or tires changed,
you'll
at a
never
garage,
get them off again.
A, you're either going to never get them off again. B, they're going to stretch the lug nuts, They'll stretch the lugs or rip out the threads and the lug nuts. We are compromising the integrity. Listen, I need money. I need tires to fall off and motors to blow. Is Albert towing our Jeep today to the dyno shop, or is he just... He might as well be on the episode with
right?
us.
He should be driving, not texting.
So we want this is and torque wrenches. At one point in time, people thought they were just for engines,
it's where they got started.
Differentials was really their differentials. I'm glad that Albert is safely doing voice to text and all that kind
of
stuff. I'm certain
of
it.
Of course he is.
So, And so, you know, at the one point in time, people felt like torque wrenches were reserved for the most specialty work. And that's why torque wrenches were very, very expensive, those beam style, if they were very accurate. Oftentimes, torque wrenches would need to continue to be calibrated. That beam might get a little bent in the toolbox and no longer would it read correctly.
And all torque wrenches should be checked if you're doing high precision work. Obviously, this style, it's close enough. The biggest problem with these is you turn this and you turn this part to set your torque, and then this locks it back down. This has to be backed off to zero, otherwise it will read off.
And there is a spring inside of this, and so a click style torque wrench comes out, and they start to become more and more affordable, and they're very cool. The big downside to click style at this point, especially your affordable ones, and I'm trying to...
They're rated to a certain torque.
They're rated to a certain torque, a Newton meter, and this one, I think Jeffrey and I were having a conversation about, so there's our Newton meters. So most of these in this design, and those of you who are listening and who can't hear us, this is your really standard silver body. The whole thing is metal, kind of chromium.
And they sell that Harbor Freight and Walmart.
Mandate, whatever, I don't know. Yeah, and so Harbor Freight, Walmart, Kmart, when it used to exist, Sears, whoever. 150 foot-pounds. So you can do your wheels and tires, because most wheels and tires on Jeeps are between 100 and 130 foot-pounds at this point in time, depending on what model it is.
Yep.
So wheels and tires. Where this really leaves you wanting for more is when you get into hub assemblies.
Yes.
And so that is where there are inherent drawbacks on these.
And I'll even go further. If you know a cheaper torque wrench, one that you can change the direction... Because you should never use one to loosen stuff, even though I have, because it's a long ratchet.
It's not a long ratchet. It is a torque wrench.
Newer, fancier ones, you'll notice, like this one, does not have a switch.
They're one direction.
One direction only. And that is why, because it is a precision instrument. And this one even has an arrow which way you should push it.
Yes. So as we kind of go through our showcase of torque wrenches, obviously we spent a good time talking about the one that, if you don't have a torque wrench currently, the one that you should put in your toolbox is like $20-$25. Click style. You can get it just about anywhere. And it's good for wheels and putting on your bumpers and make sure that your winches.
It's a good starting point.
It's a great starting point if you don't have something. It's an affordable way into Jeeping and maintaining your vehicle.
And then when you get done with getting used to that one, then you get a little bitty guy like this guy.
Okay.
And that's an inch-pound wrench for doing the little small.
We're moving into more
fasteners.
Technical things.
And this fasteners. One is pretty fancy. It has a digital readout. This one is Matco. Made, and it beeps at you when you get to the torque. I'm surprised this has a little switch, being a Matco. And then obviously the half inch drive can go up to this style. I have a blue version of this. One manufacturer makes it for a lot of different people. One I like about it is that you flip this over and you turn this dial for your torque setting.
Has like a little lock on there.
And this one you do not have to back off. It can stay at the torque you want it to be. And it is more for professionals. This way you can have it set at a certain torque and just go grab it, use it, and put it back in your toolbox.
Now, we say it's more for professionals, but something that's kind of been big came out of the TJ community, but even most of the TJ guys were, kind of good enough. Really, the JK brought on a bunch of people and then the JLs who want to play with their steering constantly.
Yep.
And so having an appropriate torque wrench that's not your entry-level click wrench, if you're playing with your steering or some of your suspension items,
yes,
you are moving towards more of a precision instrument.
This goes up to...
That should be to 250.
250.
So
this is a big boy wrench.
And that's the big difference between your entry level and your more, your more professional ones is the actual precision with the higher torque load. Again, we're talking about load that can be... I don't know if load is... It's Newton meters that can be applied to a fastening device. So the threads, the actual... metallurgy of the bolt itself. So our suspension, our control arm bolts are oftentimes pushing 200
Especially on JTs and JLs.
Correct. One of the bigger challenges as well, before you jump into that one,
yep,
are the hub assembly or the axle nut bolts of the TJ era, which are actually at 175 foot-pounds. And so, technically speaking, our entry-level click-style wrench cannot sufficiently do those axle nuts, typically speaking. And that's actually a highly critical, because we're actually using the axle nut to hold together a bearing assembly, a rotational bearing assembly. So now we get into the stuff that we play with the most. So as we crested into the Matco and other versions that Scott and Jeff and Greg have, now we move into the really critically
the really expensive
precision stuff that our guys own.
And this is the biggest important part of this. It is a beep style or a digital style. It'll tell you down to the tenths of a torque. this will do angles. And that is to stretch out bolts for stretch the yield style fasteners. And at this point, you know, if you're building my flathead, you can get away with this guy.
The entry level one.
If you're doing, you know, LS 3/6 stuff, all the newer motors.
Certainly our flywheels. A couple of the flywheels have been on some of the newer Jeeps. We do stretch to yield bolts on the flywheels.
Yep, and you'll see those in the specs. They'll say the torque it to, say 60 foot-pounds and then 60 degrees. And you're stretching that bolt when you're doing that 60 degrees. And this keeps track of it. Now you can print out a thing off the internet and have a little protractor and, oh, this is this much degrees. This makes it way easier. If you're going to do a lot of it, then spend the $600 to $800 a wrench and did that.
And I was going to say, so our performance mechanic has several of these that he does on our gear and axle jobs, and then obviously for some of the engine work, obviously for flywheels, it's valuable or critically important.
Yep.
Again, the right hardware, fixing it right on your vehicle is very important. For most of you who are looking to jump in and go out and play this weekend and do it in a safe, reliable manner,
You're between these two.
You're somewhere between that nice Matco, which again is available for a number of different brands.
Yeah, I think Precision is who makes this one. That's what mine is.
So somewhere between 25 and 250, you can have yourself a really nice torque wrench. But if you have no torque wrench, run out and
buy this one.
Buy that for $20-$25 now.
Yes.
And that should be, you know, a no-brainer to make your Jeep as good as it can be for the long run.
Yeah, I literally own a couple of these, and they're literally, I think there's one in my JK right now.
And I was going to say, the last neat thing, I was actually talking with another professional the other day. The cool thing about the Snap-on or the digital ones, typically speaking, is that they actually have a memory. And so you can actually go back. They typically store about 50 different final torque ratings. And so you can actually go back and ensure that everything was torqued appropriately in the service of the vehicle, which is kind of a neat thing.
Yep.
So, all right, folks, if the three of you who are watching are still awake, still alive, and enjoying yourself, Jeffrey has prepared some talking points for our final ridiculousness.
I got a transition.
Oh, we're transitioning.
Fact or opinion.
Now, this game has possibilities. This one we might be able to get done.
Oh, Chuck, you can keep waiting for someone to sing.
But we'll make sure that if you get enough requests that he sings.
No, we will not make sure that I get enough.
Jeff?
We're not requesting. We're not singing today. Thank the Lord there's not a shanty song in front of me. Jeffrey's trying to grab it out of a folder. We're not doing the shanty today. You're gonna have to subject yourself to that torture in the near future.
Albert
will come on and we'll do it together. All right, fact or opinion, white is the most popular Jeep color.
Fiction.
Does Jeffrey actually have answers to these, or are we just...
Yeah,
guess, but I'm not giving them to you.
Jeff's microphone is not working again. He did a big adapt and overcome and made sure that we actually had a show today. So we appreciate that. He's not giving us the answers.
Nope. You have to. It's up to you guys to.
When do we get the answers? People.
To convince, well, this is like a persuasion essay when I was in sixth grade.
We had a good game, and then he screws it up.
I agree.
We should say our answer, and you give us the answer, and we go, oh,
and then
on to the next one.
And then we go, read the next one. All right.
So is it fact or fiction?
I think this is one of those things, and if we just continue to just let the bus run over Jeffrey, I feel like this is one of those things where he picks like an obscure fact of like all Jeeps produced on Liberties, Compasses, Patriots, your mom's Buick LeSabre, I don't know, and calls it, you know, Jeep. And so I'm going to say that it is fact. And Albert is saying that's fact because it's a cheaper color. And I think that it's true because it's not just on Wranglers, or it's specifically not on Wranglers. It's on all of the other Jeeps.
It says Jeep color.
I mean, I'm saying. It says Jeep color.
Personally, I don't like white because all the, you know, vans and delivery trucks and all that are white because it's cheap, the spray. So I want to go do something different. Not have a
well. That's what you want, but that's your opinion.
Yeah,
I know that Jeffrey is like googling.
When my wife wanted to paint the CJ white, I was like, "Really? Why?"
You know, and it's funny too because like all the toters and stuff are white, and people leave them white so that, you know, they think that somehow it's less like it draws less attention. And like I'm like, I don't know. I want everything red or like. Fire engine red or black. I understand that draws attention, but what is the vehicle for if not?
So what's the answer, Jeff?
I think it's true. I think it's factual.
It's a fact.
Jeffrey says that it is a fact.
So 1 point for Neil.
And Jeffrey, was it a fact because of the reasons that I said?
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it was. I've just figured out Jeffrey. It's not because things actually make sense. It's just because I have an idea of what Jeffrey's trying to do to us.
So what's our next one?
Tuscadero is the most popular color of 2021 with over 30,000 units sold.
You just contradicted the first one.
No.
What? This is why Scott is not allowed to make up stuff. I
just said white was popular. Now you're saying pink is.
White's the most popular.
Jeep color because everybody's painting the Compasses and Patriots white.
Oh.
And like civil service vehicles.
Yeah,
you know, Jeep, Chrysler tries to do
that. Ever.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. You got to think how Jeffrey thinks. He's, you know, so I'm going to get these guys. I'm going to find an obscure that Jeep wasn't patented the name until 1943.
Yeah.
You know how many people are still butthurt about that?
Me?
Yes. Just yes.
So I'd say that's fact.
I think Tuscadero is the most popular color of 2021 with $30,000 units sold. Jeffrey, the survey says, also fact. Ding, 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 ding.
I figured he was going to be like, it was actually, you know, 2,800. Guess on a technicality.
28,950.
Not actually... 30,000.
You know, Jeffrey doesn't actually talk through his nose, so
Doing
nasally.
Anyway, that's the next one?
All right. Jeeps are most popular in California, followed by Texas, New York, Pennsylvania, and Florida. Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's
so
got
again,
technicality written
again,
all over it.
Technicalities because most popular in California. All right, well, you know what? Everybody lives in California and Texas, and those two can just fall off their borders wherever they like.
Oh.
But so to say that most is in California, then Texas, then New York, then PA, then Florida. I say
that's false.
I think it's false simply based on the fact that he's got, I don't know, 8 states listed.
Yeah.
And,
they're in the wrong order. Or
that
something.
They're in the wrong order. I think they're in the wrong order. Is the answer.
So Jeff.
So that's factual based on number of Jeeps sold in those states. However, based on per capita, it's not even close.
So
it would be whether you want to look at it by per capita.
Oh, jeez.
If you had, if Jeffrey had a microphone, you would have fallen asleep for his answer. It was something about it's factual for Jeeps overall sold in states, but per capita and blah, 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 stuff that nobody actually.
People are driving those states, buying Jeeps, and then leaving.
I don't know what Jeffrey was going for.
Anyway.
So it's sort of the fact checker, the independent fact checkers, the independent fact checkers have deemed that one false. Content may be offensive. I don't. The rhino color is considered a blue color. Folks, if you don't know what rhino is, for any other discerning human being who's driving down the road, it's gray.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I know that this is true because I am in a group that accepts these people.
Oh, boy.
I'm sorry. It's an opinion, and I'm going to stand by that.
Oh, Jeffrey. Jeffrey just blasted and said that this is an opinion. That
I think he's pro it being blue.
He also agrees that it's not blue.
Oh, okay.
But there's somebody up the chain who actually cares about colors, who says that there is blue.
And they're sprinkling like the littlest blue into the paint.
See? Yes.
It has blue in it.
That they're going to the chemical makeup of the paint itself.
It has 0.15% blue.
Well, if I think the same people who determine the blueness are the same people who determine like heritage and lineages.
Oh no. Shots fired. Yeah.
So somewhere far enough up the chain,
it's true, but it shouldn't be true. That's where I'm
needle
going.
Syringe full of blue pigment in rhino.
Yeah.
Is that the interpretation, Jeffrey?
I'm standing by it.
Jeffrey is kicking out rhinos out of the blue Jeep crew.
Hater.
Not allowed in the blue Jeep world. All right, I'm going to end on this one because it only seems appropriate that we do, and we can save these other three for another time. The LJ is the best Jeep ever made, and that's a fact. Nope. So we're done.
Uh-uh.
I ripped it up. I'm done. Walked away, folks.
That's false.
Jeep family, I hope that you have enjoyed this session with us, and I'm good. We're just going to end it.
Yeah.
Make sure you're sending us your recovery videos. We want to showcase them here on a video coming up in the near future. Go out and buy yourself a torque wrench, or better yet, order one from us. I don't know. Maybe we sell it. Jeffrey will put it on the website, and we'll sell you a torque wrench because you should have it in your toolbox. Find our marketplace reviews. We do some fun stuff there. Our Tech Tuesday walk around on the...
What did you do, Davey?
The Bad Savage Davey. Is smashing down the studio.
He
He's
really
wrecking
wants
the thing.
Us to talk about this sticker.
Make sure you're buying our sticker. Those of you who have purchased online, thank you. We're filling those orders. This sticker, $4.19 supports this show so that we can come to you every Monday morning.
And how much do they have to spend on the
$41 in the month of May. That's just as simple as two shirts or a mug and a shirt or whatever.
Or our coffee.
And our coffee that is delicious and highly caffeinated. So a simple way to support the show, and we appreciate you being a listener and a viewer of this podcast series. If you have any questions, you can reach out to us at many different ways, but through Facebook Messenger, Instagram Messenger, email contact@sfj4x4.com. You can make sure you reach out to us with something cool going on with your Jeep and get one of these cool stickers to represent how serious you are about the Jeep life. And send that recovery video over to Jeffrey. Do it now if you haven't done it. All right, Jeep family, until next time, Jeep on.
Jeep on.